Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's been a Murphy's Law kind of week here in the Coppins household. Apparently also in the Oney household. It's a Friday. I'm Andrew Coppins. He's Pat Oney. This is Critical Thinking. All right, first things first, I'm going to get this out of the way. Congratulations to your Ohio State Buckeyes on beating my Badgers, like I told you they will, ye of little faith.
Hey, is this one of those instances where I'm very happy to be wrong? I'm a little shocked that they beat Wisconsin. I'm especially shocked that they beat Iowa yesterday.
That's because you apparently have not been paying attention to how well your Buckeyes have played in the last week and a half of the season. What have I always told you about the tournament time of the year? Whoever is hot, bet on them.
And they're also beating Michigan State by 7 right now. So,
at half, right?
Not quite. Just over 6 minutes left.
Good. Yeah, that's not surprising to me. We almost saw Rutgers take down Purdue in the first game of the quarterfinals today, which, wow. The Big Ten tournament has been, I think, all but one game so far. Well, all but two now, but heading into today's action, all but one game was an upset.
I was actually surprised Penn State beat Illinois.
Not totally surprised by that. Illinois has got some health issues and things like that. But notwithstanding, this is a loaded conference, top to bottom, as we saw, right? Minnesota nearly pulled off the all upset scenario. This was just crazy the first 2 days of the tournament. So congratulations to your Buckeyes. I will tip the cap. I hope you go far. I can't stand Michigan State. I really can't, mainly because I cannot stand their fans. But that's notwithstanding.
Don't you have like a sister-in-law or something that went to Michigan State?
Yes, I do. I still don't like Michigan State.
Okay, I'm just checking.
So. Yeah. I find most of their fan base to be rather obnoxious and terrible. Like, just no. If you've ever been around enough of them. Just no. All right. With that having been said, it's been a Murphy's Law kind of a week. I've been sick. And then, as I said to you, Pat, is it bad that I've been awake since 1:30 in the morning the other day? It was a little brutal.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
That was part whatever the hell was going on health-wise. And then our wonderful neighbors upstairs. But all that notwithstanding. Oh, yeah, we still got that problem going on. But all that notwithstanding, we are here with you, bringing you our wonderful program today. And normally we give you the best of the week because we like to start off sunshiny and bright on a Fish Fry Friday, but we're going to go with the worst of the week, and there's a definite reason for this, Pat. And I'm going to go with your worst of the week first. And why don't you let people know what your worst story or the worst take of the week is?
So I can't even believe this one fell into my lap the other day, and I just, it's one of those where you just kind of shake your head and you almost want to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Because how could this possibly be a story? Maryland Democrats from, you know, the not so great state of Maryland. And for anybody that's in our audience that is from Maryland and is offended by that, not sorry. Get out. Trust me. But Maryland Democrats would like to block people from under 25 from being charged for felony murder. The Maryland Democrats are pushing a bill in the legislature that would prevent anyone under the age of 25 from being charged with felony murder. Democrat Charlotte Crutchfield introduced into the Maryland General Assembly the Youth Accountability and Safety Act, which would prohibit a person younger than 25 at the time of the offense from being convicted of first-degree murder under the state's felony murder provisions. Under those provisions, murder is classified as being first degree if it was committed during a perpetration or attempted perpetration of several specific crimes, such as rape, arson, robbery, burglary, carjacking, and other serious offenses. But the Crutchfield proposal, which has the support of several Democrats co-sponsors, anyone under the age of 25 who murders someone trying to commit one of these other crimes couldn't be charged with first-degree murder, a crime that in Maryland carries life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. So wait a minute.
What?
Is this bad?
Yes, Pat. That is terrible, horrible, no good. So I'm going to guess the logic behind this is that they're going to argue that your full brain development doesn't happen until the age of 25. Yes, Mr. Padoni.
Andrew Coppins, when you were 2 years old, did you know it was bad to kill somebody?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm just throwing out an arbitrary number, but I'm just saying, well before the age of 25, you knew it was bad to kill somebody.
Correct.
So in other words, you know it's bad, you know it's wrong, and you're under the age of 25. Do you really need full brain development to understand?
No.
Okay. I rest my case.
If you have the ability to discern right from wrong, period, amen, that is the point in time in which you lose the ability to claim victimhood here.
I mean, we've even seen cases across the country before where even juveniles are tried as an adult.
Right, that's my point. So if you're 12 years old and you know what you're doing with a gun and you decide to pop one off on somebody and you kill him,
right,
you get to, you know, you're going to get punished and you deserve to go to federal pound me in the rear end prison. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry on that. There are consequences. There's a hope that you can be rehabilitated, right? If you're 12 years old, chances are your life is not over for committing this act, but you have a serious, serious problem on your hand. And I can't take these people seriously, Pat, because these are the same Democrats who in Maryland, specifically in Maryland, are telling us that 16 and 17-year-olds need to be able to vote in elections. You're telling me their brain is not fully developed enough to be charged with murder, but they're capable of making literally life and death decisions on a municipal, local level, on a state level, on a federal level in the future? What? You cannot have it both ways. So either a 16 and 17-year-old is functioning enough to be able to vote in elections. Their brain is so developed that they have the ability to critically think, right? And to be able to know whom they should be voting for or against or what an issue is and that, so they can discern, right? There's discernment in a 16 or 17-year-old enough to vote. But they're not capable of handling the discernment of should I kill somebody or not.
Yeah.
I can't take you seriously.
I just have one additional question to this. for those that are pushing this bill in Maryland, and because and I can pretty much guarantee that, you know, we could see similar things like this in other states, especially blue states, right? Mm-hmm.
Full of activists, yes.
How do you share a country like this, or share a country when people do stuff like this with these people?
Well, it's funny you mention that, Pat, because I think that's a good segue into my worst of the week. And I could not decide between two of them. So I'm going to let you, Pat, decide which is my worst of the week. But I'm going to play them for you, and you can make a decision. First up, do you want The View or the AT&T?
Let's get The View out of the way.
All right, here we go. Here's Jane Fonda, of all people, that wonderful human being, on The View.
We have experienced many decades now of having agency over our body, of being able to determine when and how many children to have. We know what that feels like. We know what that's done for our lives. We're not going back. I don't care what the laws are. We're not going back.
I think the women will rise up.
That's the activist.
That's Jane.
Speaking. Yeah. And she probably will get a Nobel Prize.
But it's the truth. Very soon. It is the truth. But we're not going to do it.
Besides marching and protesting, what else do you suggest?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous. What did you say?
Murder.
She's kidding. Wait a second. She's just kidding.
Don't say that.
You don't know. They'll pick up on that and just run with it.
Yeah, that's the worst.
She's just kidding.
Well, let me talk to you about. Let's move on and talk about Jane's.
That's number one on this list, Pat.
Okay.
I'm going to move on to. I would suggest one of the most iconic commercial ladies of all time, Lily from AT&T.
Sorry. Before you unfollow me, I just really want you to know that I also believe Black Lives Matter and that money should be allocated from the police into communities. And climate change is real. Universal health care is the answer. I believe in removing money from politics. I have had an abortion, and I support every birthing person's right to have one. And what else? Oh, refugees are welcome here. I've been working for about the past 8 years to make sure that refugees feel safer and have more of what they need in the world. Also, I believe people are inherently good inside, and
tell me you're a terrible person without telling me you're a terrible person.
So I have to decide between these two of which one's the worst?
Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, you have Jane Fonda calling for the murder of those who are pro-life. And on the other hand, you have Lily from AT&T. Yeah.
I'm going with Jane Fonda.
Okay. Why?
Well, what Lily said in her video there that you just watched, it's bad. Don't get me wrong. It's crazy. It's immoral. It's a lot of things. But that's just a person sitting there talking crazy. Whereas the other one, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, talking violence.
Yeah, no, that's a very good dichotomy between the two, I think. Very good discernment, if you will, because apparently you're over the age of 25, so you can discern now, Pat.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I think they are very different versions of worst takes. And here's the reason why I put the Lily thing up there, because what we have to realize is that, you know, these people, as they portray characters that are beloved or whatever, right? Like, everybody knows Lily from AT&T. She is a whack nut. Like, she is crazy. And the response to somebody telling her, hey, careful what you opened up here, right? Careful about those things. as they do that, it is amazing to me that this is the response. That is a total jackassery thing to do. Oh, universal healthcare is the answer. Okay, well, guess what? You wouldn't debate about that. You would just assume it, and it's totally wrong, as we have seen the cost of healthcare continue to climb within the cost of Obamacare, right? Oh, but that's not truly socialized enough medicine. Okay. Mm-hmm. I talked to the people of the UK. So you have that on the one hand. And on the other hand, you have Jane Fonda. And I don't know if you picked up on this, Pat, right? There's supposed to be a GOP, Republican, right-wing-ish conservative on this dais, right? Supposed to be. Right?
Uh-huh.
As Jane Fonda gives that, I'm not sure if I'm joking or if I'm serious, look to Joey Behar. Did you see the Republican on the group, the dais, say anything? Yeah, you did.
No.
You did.
Well, yeah, I mean, you did, but...
What did she do? She laughed with the rest of them as if this was just funny.
No, she said it with contempt.
I am somebody who loves dark humor, loves a good joke, loves comedy movies, loves all that sort of stuff, right? We try to be funny on the show as much as humanly possible. But here's the reality. There's nothing funny about calling for the murder of people who happen to believe in the sanctity of life from the moment of conception to the moment of your natural death.
Yeah, nothing about that's funny.
That's not funny.
Yeah.
No. Because even if you're kidding, the person who just listened to you isn't, right? So if you're on the one hand going to tell us that right-wing extremism and the rhetoric of, you know, this politician or that politician is responsible for the extremism that we see in this country, I'm going to hold you to your own standard. I'm going to shove the same bullshit you shove down our throats right back down yours. I'm going to make sure you live your standard. That Jane Fonda getting a Nobel Prize. For what? Hanoi Jane? Get out of here with that shit.
I also think it the irony of all of this is... you have someone that says, you know, we're never going to go back. We're never going to go back. And she's pro-death of babies and apparently pro-death for people that are pro-life. Seems pretty backwards for Absolutely. Someone that's supposedly pro-choice.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then, Pat, with all of that having been said, I think it is a great time for us to go ahead and move on to the B or not the B. Are you ready for that?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, lay that headline on me.
Today's headline, Senate to now be controlled by whichever party has fewer senators in hospital. Senate now to be controlled by whichever party has fewer senators in hospital. Is this the B or not the B? That is the question. And while you're thinking about that, Andrew Coppins, it's Friday, folks. And we're getting into the weekend. Hopefully we're getting into some fun things this week. And hopefully it's starting to warm up a little bit. So hopefully, you know, people are starting to get out and do a little bit more. But you still need that pick-me-up in the mornings. And if you haven't yet, go to coffeebrandcoffee.com. They don't care about your politics, guys. They really don't. Doesn't matter. All they're trying to do is make a good product. They don't care what you believe. You can do whatever you want. But they're not going to insult you. They're just going to try to deliver a great product. That's it. Everything is freshly roasted. Everything is freshly shipped to you. That's it. And if you're not a coffee drinker like me, they have other alternatives there. They have tea. They also have hot chocolate, which is what I'm personally a fan of. So you can check those things out too, even if you're not a coffee drinker. If you are a coffee drinker, they've got all sorts of great flavors over there. I would pick one that you know that you're going to like, and then maybe pick one that, hey, I would really like to try this. That's what I would do if I were in your shoes. And tell your friends about it. All you need to do is go to coffeebrandcoffee.com. Use the promo code Critical Thinking at checkout. That's coffeebrandcoffee.com. Promo code Critical Thinking at checkout, and you'll get 5% off your purchase today. All right. So the headline, Senate to now be controlled by whichever party has fewer senators in the hospital. Is this the B or not the B? Andrew Coppins, your answer.
This is really tough because it's so true what's been going on with Fetterman and everybody else. But I got to go with this being not the B. The Babylon B. Babylon B. This is the Babylon B.
No, but you want this to be not to be, though.
So, that's the thing. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, it would be. You want this to be not to be, but it is the Babylon Bee.
Oh, that's great.
With aged senators increasingly absent from sessions to treat their illnesses and injuries, Congress has passed rules giving control of the Senate to whichever party has fewer people in the hospital. These people are dropping like flies, said one anonymous staffer on Capitol Hill. At this point, I think the average age of the senator is around 98 years old. Their decrepit bodies are finally starting to just give out. Sources confirm that over the last few years, the Capitol building has become a de facto nursing home to hundreds of elderly politicians who outstayed their welcome decades ago. Tourists in D.C. have reportedly sightings of confused, babbling geriatrics wandering the halls, nurses rushing and to and fro along the corridors, and the repulsive smell of full adult diapers filling the air. With Democrat John Fetterman and Republican Mitch McConnell both in the hospital, Republicans now have 18 infirmed geriatrics being treated, while Democrats only have 17, giving control to the Senate to the Democrats. At publishing time, control had been given back to Republicans after Senator Mitch McConnell spent a few hours under a heat lamp and fully recovered.
Yeah, no.
That last line was awesome.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. I do hope that they both get better, right? I do hope that everybody is well. I hate seeing what has likely happened to John Fetterman largely because of his stroke and some of the things that have been going on there. I hope they're getting the care that they need. I do find it a little troublesome that this has been over a month, right? And he is still in the hospital with that clinical depression issue. Only because if he was truly getting better, he likely would have been out and getting outpatient treatment and some help.
Right.
And I severely suggest the state of Pennsylvania take a look at pulling him from service. There's got to be a way that they can ripcord him out of there. Now, you are unfit for duty.
Yeah, and frankly, they need to. And I hate to be the one to say it, but it's one of those I told you so situations.
100%.
And I don't like that we were right on this. I obviously, regardless of what party you belong to, you want them to go and you want them to serve and you want them to at least do some semblance of their job. You
suffer, right?
Right.
That's
right.
It's just that simple. I'm not
right.
I'm not a sadist. So. Yeah, and then for Mitch McConnell, I mean, health-wise, I mean,
time to retire, bro.
Yeah. Now, question is, who would trip up the least amount of stairs between him and Joe Biden?
Oh, Mitch McConnell. I would take Mitch McConnell. Okay. The only reason I say that is because he does move at a turtle's pace and it goes a little bit slower.
Ah, boo. Boo. With that, Pat, it's time for some cheers because we're going to crown a brand new Richard of the Week.
Oh.
Okay, with that, Pat, why don't you let us know who are the four nominees this week for Richard of the Week?
Well, we've actually already mentioned a few of them.
We have
one of which was in your worst take, which is Lily from the AT&T commercials for that very take, by the way. Mm-hmm. Then we have Jane Fonda.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure calling for murder of somebody because they have a differing opinion on political issue.
Even if it's a joke, it's a really bad joke. Just don't do that. Okay. Then, of course, we have Joseph Marionette Biden. And that's because he's, what, taking milk away from moms and infants and replacing them with, what, soy products?
Soy boys. We're going to grow soy boys.
No, thank you.
No.
And finally, we actually talked about him the other day, Kendrick Perkins.
ESPN analyst for two things here, Pat. We'll talk about this, maybe the second thing in a little bit, but for insinuating, saying it without saying it, that white people winning the NBA MVP award at any point in time in the last 20 years is because racism.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Anywho, moving along, whom do you think wins this award?
The more I think about this, the more I think the clear winner is probably Jane Fonda.
Yeah, you are correct. That is who I would pick as well. Pro tip. If you wish murder upon your political opponent, because let's be real about this. This is a political as much as a cultural and religious issue. Okay. If you wish death upon them, you are just doing it wrong. And more importantly, proving that you are just part of a death cult. You're cool with death. Okay. You're cool with killing things. I'm not. Just not. Unless it is absolutely 100% me or you. You're standing in front of me and you try to pull a gun on the streets of Chicago. It's going to be me or you, buddy. And let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So with that being said, I agree with you. Jane Fonda wins for suggesting that people need to be murdered for being pro-life. The layers of irony, the layers of schadenfreude. Holy smokes, folks. Okay, with that, it is time for our best takes of the week. And I'm going to go first. And this has to do with the Kendrick Perkins situation. And we've already played this audio and video this week, but it needs to be played again. There's no better take than watching J.J. Redick look into a camera and say to Kendrick Perkins and to ESPN, his employer, F off, we're not playing this game.
It is an honor to be on this desk every day. It really is. But what we've just witnessed is the problem with this show, where we create narratives that do not exist in reality. The implication, what you are implying, that the white voters that vote on NBA are racist, that are they favor white people. You I just not, said that. You just, not, yes, you did.
I
yes,
did
you did.
Not, I did
yes,
not,
you did. That I is did exactly not, what you implied, Kendrick Perkins. Not, that is exactly not, what you implied. Secondly, not, hold on,
did,
hold on.
I did not call. I stated the facts. I stated the facts. And you're not about to sit up
we all know what
like
you implied the other day. We all know what you implied just now. Hold on.
I stated it. It's the facts. It's the facts. It's the facts. It's the facts.
It's the facts. It's the facts. And now Kendrick Perkins went on to double down on all of this talk on ESPN, stating that 80% of the voters for NBA MVP are white. Here's the problem with this, Kendrick Perkins. The NBA, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, publicly acknowledges the votes. So everybody knows whom everybody voted for, right? Number right. one. And number two, the NBA knows exactly, or everybody knows exactly whom votes for NBA MVP.
Right.
ESPN, in the next segment, after Kendrick Perkins threw that double down, had to come on air and correct the record and apologize. Because it's nowhere near 80%. In fact, it's closer to a 60-40 split. The other way, Pat.
Yeah.
Kendrick Perkins doesn't know his ass from his elbow.
Does he still have a job at ESPN, by the way, after this?
Oh, hell yeah, he does. Because he fits their narrative. It's
even
not
though a, he's completely stupid?
He's not just stupid. He's a liar.
Well, yeah.
So watching J.J. Redick, and you can see Kendrick Perkins, the wheels turning. Uh-oh, where's he going? Where's he going? Where? Oh, no. Whoa. In that segment, J.J. Redick had the stones. That we talked about it earlier this week. That's what confrontation looks like, folks. Was it violent? No. Was it into your face? Yeah, it was. It was directly into Kendrick Perkins' face. It was directly into his bosses at ESPN's face. Did he back down? Nope. Did he get into a shouting match? No.
No.
Did he raise his voice somewhat? Yes. But he didn't get into a screaming match. Kendrick Perkins looked like a fool, like a moron. He was factually wrong. He was statistically wrong. He was dead wrong. And he is dead wrong on all of these things. It is very clear who he believes can be or should be the NBA MVP. He's got a horse in the race, right? And I don't care whom that horse in the race is. But he is attempting to push that horse to the finish line, right? By doing what? Running over a couple other horses and attempting to suggest to the voters of the MVP award that if you don't vote the way that I want you to, I'm going to call you a racist. The Denver Nuggets are the number one team in the Western Conference, right? And I think they have the second best record in the NBA. I think they're the second best record, maybe third. I don't know for sure. I know the Bucks are, 48 or 49 and 17?
They are. Yeah, so they are the number one team in the Western Conference. They are 46-20.
Right, and the Bucks are 49-21, right?
They're 48-18, actually.
48-18, okay. Mm-hmm. So there you go. What are we doing here? And I love J.J. Redick for doing that. I don't think people understand how hard that is to take that level of a physical, moral, and ethical stance and to do it live on air. It is really hard. And I would know, having to deal with that type of an ethical issue in multiple situations in my past on a professional level. It is not easy. It takes real courage to do that. And that's why it's my best take. He sat there in front of his face and called out his BS. That is confrontation with meekness. That is meekness beating the, I'm going to shout above you so I win the argument. No, you don't. You've lost the argument. People tune you out immediately. If you have to shout above somebody to win it, you don't win. You can do it with calmness. You can do it with meekness. Meekness is not weakness as long as you know your power and the power of Christ and the power of belief in God that can be in your corner when it is a just and right situation, just like J.J. Redick did there. And has J.J. Redick engaged in a Twitter war? No.
No.
No. He hasn't even addressed it on Twitter. Doesn't need to. He said his piece. And guess who looks like a fool and guess who doesn't?
Not J.J. Redick.
Now, Pat, from the world of comedy comes your best of the week. Are you ready?
Oh, yes. I'm very ready for this one.
Good morning, everyone. As you know, there have been some recent reports suggesting that our vaccine is not safe. This, of course, is ridiculous. If you look at the science, you will see that there are no side effects. In fact, I myself have been boosted four times.
Boosted four times. This notion that vaccines can have any kind of side effect is a right-wing conspiracy bolstered by MAGA Republicans, hate groups, and probably Russia. Look, would we vaccinate 7 billion people if there were side effects?
Of course not. It's dangerous and, quite frankly, irresponsible to blame the recent uptick of people suddenly collapsing on our product. Healthy people have always suddenly
fallen to the ground.
So you can go to the Babylon Bee's YouTube page to find the rest of that, because legally we are not allowed to play more than half of it. But oh my God, that is so great.
this is one of the ways, you know, that you can be confrontational too, is through mockery
and satire.
And this was brilliant mockery.
Yep. Absolute brilliant mockery. Absolutely brilliant. I think on Monday, possibly on Tuesday, but for sure on Monday, Pat, I think what we're going to be doing, since we're heading towards the end of the show here, we will talk about the Biden administration and its very unserious proposal for the 2024 fiscal year budget. And we will definitely talk about that. I'm sure we will have our reaction to the Field of 68 for the NCAA tournament. I'm so looking forward to it. Even though my Wisconsin Badgers are likely not going to be in it, I have a strange feeling that my Iowa State Cyclones will be. So I'm going to be excited for that. They play Kansas later on today, and if you know anything about college basketball, that's got to be a top 10 rivalry in all of college basketball. That's going to be so much fun. But they're a very entertaining team. They've twice taken down Baylor in the last 2 weeks. It's going to be interesting to see where that happens. And it'll be interesting to see your Buckeyes and how far they can or can't go here in the NCAA, here in the tournament. Obviously, their season will be over once that tournament ends and their run ends in the Big Ten tournament, unless it ends with them winning the Big Ten tournament.
I was going to say, at the very least, they have to make the Big Ten championship game. It's still likely over for them anyway.
Yeah, because
the only real sure way to get in is if they win at all.
Yeah. Yep. And by the way, where are we at here as we close out the show?
Well, I was actually trying to look that up, and oh, come on. Give me just a second here while I...
while it slowly loads in front of you?
Yeah.
No problem, Pat. No problem.
Where is...
They're up 2 right now with about 16 minutes to go second
gotcha.
Half.
Yep, I got it.
36-34. So that's good news. That is good news. Playing well, playing some good basketball. Honestly, they've got to win the Big Ten tournament. And then how mad are you going to be if you're Rutgers if that happens? Because that could be a seed. That could be Rutgers out. I don't personally think so. I think Rutgers should have already been in.
Yeah, I think they've pretty well got in.
We'll see what happens. It's going to be an absolutely fascinating Field of 68 this year. Because this is about as open of a season as I have ever seen in college basketball. I seriously don't have a clue who I would actually pick until I get to see how the bracket really shapes itself out.
By the way, if Wisconsin is out, so should that state from up north. They should also be out because they have a worse record than you.
Yeah, they should be out of here too. Anyway, that all being said, everybody, Pat, your final thoughts.
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And I stay to the facts.
Please be smart, be safe, be kind. Make sure you eat all of your meals this weekend. Have yourselves a good weekend. And as always, Matthew 5:47.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.